It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me invite you to get your Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, whatever you want to write with, and take down some notes today on what we're going to discuss. And let me remind you that at the end of the program, you'll be given the address of websites where you can go back and listen to these programs once again. And be sure and listen at the end of the program and go to those websites. You'll be able to find other things on there as well. Well, we've been looking at the book of Acts, and we've looked at Paul's first missionary journey, his second missionary journey, and now we're looking at his third missionary journey. And we left off last time about looking at the subject of new creatures. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, when a person believes on Christ, he or she has a brand new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Well, when a person comes to know the Lord, he may have certain possessions that he needs to get rid of, and we're going to read about that and talk about that in just a moment as we look into the Word of God. And we realize that a person gets a new life by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That doesn't mean that we become a super Christian all at once. And actually, we don't become a super Christian throughout our Christian life. We're still in this body. And we will, one day, we will be a super, if you want to call us a Christian at that time, Christ-like, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in person. Old things are passed away completely at that point, and this old life is gone, and we have no more sin around us or in us, and we just need to thank God for that today, that Jesus Christ has given us a new life even right now. Well, we've been looking at the city of Ephesus, and something that was taking place here in the city of Ephesus, and I would compare this to somewhat like Mars Hill, where Paul went, and this is in Greece, and he found these people who were worshiping the unknown God. To them, God was unknown, and Paul introduced them to the real God, and of course, Jesus Christ is the real God. Well, we saw how that they were very superstitious. They had all types of things they worshiped, stones, beads, necklaces, and all of these things would have been there, I suppose. But now we look at the believers in Ephesus, and I believe that they possessed certain books which were part of their old superstitious nature. Well, they had all kinds of magic books, sorcery books, and witchcraft books. Well, what did they do with these books? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because Acts chapter 19 and verse 19 tells us what happened. It says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Sometimes when we read this verse, we look at it and we say, well, these people were super Christians. They did something that really I can't do. And we think about this and we realize that there's some things that we have that we need to be getting rid of. And this convicts my heart, and it convicts your heart if you're a saved person. I don't convict you, though the Word of God convicts you. It convicts me, and it helps me to understand how that I can live closer to the Lord, getting rid of those old things that were once a part of my life. And we need to realize that God has given us a new life, and we need to be thankful for that. Well, notice what they did. They brought the books and they burned them. They brought everything that reminded them that it was not part of their new life, but was with their old life, their old sinful life. We see in the city of Ephesus, there was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This was the great temple of Diana. And this temple was built to honor the goddess Diana. And of course, this goddess was also called Artemis. Well, Diana's temple was famous throughout the world. It was a very large religious center made with more than 100 columns of marble. and each column was a huge stone 60 feet high. And in the temple was a statue or likeness of Diana, and the superstitious people of Ephesus thought that this image had fallen down from heaven. Well, the people did what we would call Diana worship. And it makes no difference what a person is worshiping other than God. It's not right. And we see in Acts chapter 19 and verse 35, it says, "And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, 'You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?'" There are still people today who are worshiping things that they believe came down from heaven or is a representation of heaven. Well, the Bible tells us that we're not to worship anything that is a representation. We are to worship the one true God, and the one true God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three. Now, I don't understand everything, but I do know that I believe the Bible, and the Bible teaches us that there's three in one: God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth, and we are to give Him all the honor and glory. We're to worship Jesus Christ. He is God, and He is the Savior. Well, one person has said this, Dr. Henry Morris. He says Diana, and once again he says it's the same as Artemis, was one not only the goddess of hunting, but was considered, at least in Asia and in many other places around the Greco-Roman world, to be the mother goddess of all nature, much like Gaia, the goddess currently being widely promoted as Mother Earth in the New Age movement. And he goes on to say the Temple of Diana at Ephesus was so magnificent that it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world in ancient times. End of quote. You see, because the people of Ephesus were so religious and superstitious, they loved to buy small statues and replicas of Diana made of silver. And these were called silver shrines and were made by silversmiths. These little idols were copies of that great statue which was found in the temple. And as you can imagine, the silversmiths had a booming business selling these. They were making a lot of money selling these silver shrines. Well, in verse 24 of Acts, it says, "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen." Well, you see, they were making a lot of money, especially we see this man, Demetrius. Well, something was beginning to happen in the city, which caused a great concern to these greedy silversmiths. He was not the only one. Demetrius was not the only one. Paul had come into their city preaching the good news of salvation. Many people were believing his message and were being saved. Well, Christians should not worship things, images made by human hands. I've mentioned this before. We see some people who have images on their dashboard of their car. You don't see that so much anymore, but you still see things hanging around the mirror. You see beads hanging around there, and you see people wearing huge crosses around their neck. And you see many different images of certain things that people worship. And they may not even realize what's happening, but they're worshiping an image made by human hands, and we're not to worship anything that takes away from the worship of God. We see in this Ephesus, we see, of course, image worship. Acts chapter 19 and verse 26, it says, "Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands." Well, then once again, these are the silversmiths have come, and they're accusing Paul now of causing a problem. And the problem he was causing was he was presenting Jesus Christ as Savior, and people were turning away from the idols. And so these silversmiths were losing a lot of money. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." We're not to have graven images and falling down and worshiping something and someone who is not God. Isaiah 42:17 goes on to say, "They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, 'Ye are our gods.'" Molten images means those metals that are melted down and made into the image of someone, a woman or a man. And once again, we're not to do that. We're not to worship these images according to the word of God. Isaiah 44:17 says, "And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, 'Deliver me, for thou art my God.'" Now, I know that there's people who say that there are certain individuals who lived in the past. They call them saints, and they pray to the saints. Well, let me tell you this, that we're not to pray to the saints. We're to pray to Jesus Christ. He is the intercessor for us. He is, if you would pardon the expression, he is our go-between. He is our deliverer, and he delivers messages to our Heavenly Father. He is the one to whom we pray to. We're not to pray to a woman. We're not to pray to any other man, but we're to pray to Jesus Christ and ask him for help. We're to praise him. And as we do that, he takes that to God the Father. And especially when the devil comes along and he starts ridiculing us and bothering us, we take that to the Father through Jesus Christ. And when we learn that, we get rid of the things that once we worshiped as silver and gold and stones and necklaces and all of this. Get saved and you get rid of those things, as these people in Ephesus were doing. You see, the more Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus, the fewer silver shrines were sold, and the silversmiths were furious. In Acts chapter 19, verses 24 through 28, it says, "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain into the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said," sirs, this man was stirring them up, you see, the other silversmiths. He said, "Sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they had heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Well, these silversmiths stirred up the people of the city, and a big crowd rushed into the great outside theater. And we'll look at that the next time we look into the book of Acts. And let me say that you need to trust Jesus Christ today. Don't trust anything or anyone else. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's you and me. All have sinned. There was a time when I trusted Jesus. You need to trust him. "Lord, I know I can't save myself. I want you to take me to heaven. I want you to make it possible for me to be saved. And one day I'll see you personally and I'll be able to thank you because you saved my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.